The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Hey, grandkids, welcome to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. I believe we're at 196. And with me this week are multiple persons. First, long time no here. How you doing, Mr. Eric Nelson?
I am multiple persons myself. So I'm doing good and I'm doing great.
Well, which one's doing good and which one's doing great?
I'll make sure the great one does the podcast. And the good one sits over here drinking his Diet Coke like an asshole.
So, speaking of assholes, Mr. Dusty Giebink, do you have anything to say about Eric's Diet Coke drinking habits?
Yeah, the gay Eric is drinking a Diet Coke right now.
Have I told you guys about my band trip down to Austin, Texas a few years ago after I'd lost all my weight? And we were at the Salt Lick Barbecue in Austin, Texas, best barbecue in the world, basically, in the free world, best barbecue you're ever going to get. And we get up in the front of the line, and we're like, we want brisket and turkey and chicken. We want mashed potatoes and corn casserole, and we want fucking Crisco on a stick, and we want cornbread and all this shit and everything. And right down the row, I want a Dr. Pepper, and I want a 7-Up, and I want a Pepsi, and I want an orange fucking Crush. And then it gets to me after I'd lost 90 pounds and worked really hard to do it. And Max goes, I'll have a Diet Coke. Everyone breaks into laughter. Yeah, and I just hang my head and I go, yeah, I'll have a Diet Coke.
Yeah. Right.
What do you do?
What's going on with that? Even after losing 90 pounds, you can't allow yourself to have 140 calories of regular Coke?
You know, I mean, there are two ways to look at it, seriously.
I mean, granted, I'm a big badass and I have no reason to talk here. I'm just wondering what's going on.
The way I look at it, you're putting one of two things in your body. You're either putting sugar in your body that is going to turn itself, store itself as fat eventually, unless you just get to it and work it off, which requires getting to it and working it off, which I'm progressively struggling to do every day of my life because I'm fucking sick of it. Or you're putting all those weird chemicals in your body like aspartame and whatever else.
Yeah.
So one way or another, something is getting into your system that should not be there. And I could just drink water, but, I mean, who wants to do that?
Oh, I do.
It's not bad. I like water. I try to drink about 80 ounces of water every day, but goddamn, if I can't get a Diet Coke in my system, that's like my crack.
Yeah. I try not to drink water from Fond du Lac.
Really?
Yeah, oh, God. I swear to you, it's the worst water in the world.
Does it actually come out of the faucet looking like the letters on the periodic table?
Kind of. Not the prettiest. So. When I bought this house, they assured me they were working on it.
And And you've been in that house, what now, 4 or 5 years?
It's been about 4 years, yeah.
You will get fresh water the same day you get your IRS action figure back.
You son of a bitch.
Kevin, never lend anything to me.
Okay, I will keep that in mind.
Nothing will ever happen to it, including it being mailed back to you.
Right. At least I'm comforted with the fact that it's not damaged in any way.
Of course not. No, they're still standing in front of the Raw Deal set.
I'm sure they are. As nature intended, by the way. They were put on this earth to do that.
That's right.
So, one of these days, I'm going to bring that back. One of these glorious days.
Yep.
Well, now that we're done bashing Eric, do we want to move on to some news that all of our fun grandkids can use?
You sound extra peppy today, Kevin, so I think we should hit right to it.
Yeah, you sound like a real Rosa Mendez over here. Come on.
Oh, well, if I was Rosa Mendez, I would be in the corner talking like this. But,
Jesus.
Yeah, no, that was pretty painful, even for me. Is there any further reports on whether they actually filed anything yet with this little disturbance that happened, Sunday evening?
Mm-hmm. Right, Sunday evening in the airport bathroom in San Antonio. And last I read, I don't know if files have been properly charged, but I did read that this wrestler who goes by Jackson Andrews was allegedly engaged to two women at the same time, one of whom was Rosa Mendez. So you got a real upstanding citizen here.
Yeah, and it makes her really fit in with that dumb bimbo quotation with how hot she is. always fun when the stereotype, rings true.
Yeah, when it propagates itself, is that the word? No, not propagates. What's the word, Dusty? It starts with a P.
What's that?
I've been out of grad school too long. I can't remember words anymore. when a stereotype, it's not propagates itself. Nah, whatever. By
you sure
granny
it
audio,
propagates itself?
I don't think it is. I figure by audio 197 we'll have it figured out.
Coming soon, more news on the Samoa Joe contract situation.
Awesome. I do think it's funny that that this actually followed the week where Abraham Washington mentioned Kobe Bryant's raping of that woman on Monday Night Raw. It's like a little too close to home here, A-Dub and Jackson Andrews and Rosa.
Right. Yeah, and here one of the things I attacked Abraham for was not being timely with his joke, but I guess it comes back around again.
You know, my buddy Scotto loves to make fun of Roddy Piper for all of his untimely jokes.
Right, yeah.
Like,
you were going to need Norma Desmond. You're like, what? Wait, what? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, the anonymous GM makes about as good a decision as Judge Lance Ito.
Yes!
Oh, God. Poor Roddy Piper. He's so lost.
Yeah.
I could jump immediately into my match game question if we all want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what else is there really to, I don't know why that was really, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, that really can't be expanded upon, I guess, very much.
It's well, news if she doesn't press charges, right?
Yeah, it's kind of shameful if she doesn't, too.
Well, but how often does that happen, dude?
I mean, way too often.
I used to watch Cops all the time, you know. You see domestic stuff, and then at the end of it, the woman's still with him, you know. Or
Yeah, the cop's like, do you want to press charges, ma'am? And she kind of looks down, she looks over, she takes a drag off her cigarette,
yeah.
wipes the corner of her mouth off on her tank top, and says, no, that's all right. I just go back inside.
Right.
Happens way too often. And because we clearly respect women at Stunt Granny here, that leads me to this match game question.
Oh, yes.
For Stunt Granny audio number 190, whatever the fuck it is.
I don't know.
So, gentlemen, get your placards and your Sharpies out here and write down the answer that you think matches with what our contestant Debbie here has to say.
Debbie, okay.
Yep, all right. Rosa Mendez was found crying in an airport bathroom, accusing her boyfriend of domestic abuse. Upon hearing this, former WWE diva Melina quipped, hey, I didn't cry every time Batista gave me blank. Upon hearing Rosa Mendez's situation, Melina quipped, hey, I didn't cry every time Batista gave me blank. Kevin, what you got?
Because the obvious black eye.
Okay. There you go. Okay, yeah. Anything's possible. She was made up like a French whore, so you never know.
Yeah.
Upon hearing about Rosa Mendez, Dusty, Melina quips, hey, I didn't cry every time Batista gave me blank.
Roadhead?
There you go. Very nice.
Which I want to be Melina's nickname from now on.
Yeah, yeah, that's about right. Let me see here. I got to get Debbie's card from her. Debbie wrote, let's see, Melina.
Are you
quit,
really
hey.
Making rustling noises? Is that really happening? Okay.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Okay.
Melina quips, hey, I didn't cry every time Batista gave me his shriveled 3-inch cock.
Nice.
So there you go, his shriveled 3-inch cock.
Tiny red penis.
That might be the most disturbing thing I've ever read in a Torch talk in my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Terry Runnels describing Brock Lesnar's tiny red penis.
Yeah.
God.
Seems to work for Staple.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she just wanted to get away from... I think she just wanted to stop being Mark Miro's beard.
Oh, can I speak on that for a second, speaking of beard?
By all means. Tell me you're going to regale us with the top three celebrity beards again.
I got a lot of fanfare for that post.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Stilarski loved it.
Yeah, so, good. Well, he's a smart man, so I'm not surprised.
I think that's what's happening with Maria Menounos. You know how she's hanging out on the beach with that other guy?
I haven't noticed that, but yeah, go on.
Okay, well, the guy looks like he's gay, and everybody on these gossip sites are talking about, well, you know, she's clearly got something going on with him, and how must her boyfriend feel? But I kind of think that the guy is with her boyfriend, and she's the beard running interference in the whole thing. That's my conspiracy theory with her.
So,
it sure seems like both guys in the equation are a little fruity. So,
interesting. Who's somebody that had a big, massive, like, just incredible beard? Like twice the beard of a normal man.
Hillbilly Jim.
Awesome. I think we should.
Dusty Hill.
Who's that?
Dusty Hill from ZZ Top.
Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. Yeah, I think we need to start. Like, I think in this case, Maria Menounos transcends the term beard and goes straight to fucking Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah.
She's their hillbilly. That's awesome. She's their HJ. Oh, wait, that means something else entirely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm just still thinking about that picture of her pierced clit. I just can't get it out of my head now. Thanks, I'll have to go look at that and be silent again for a little while here.
<That's> Kevin's awesome. A little tied up right now.
The art of silently masturbating during a podcast.
Jesus!
I'm sorry, fucking Captain Obvious here strikes again.
Oh, man.
Captain Lou Obviano. I don't know. I got nothing.
In any event.
Yeah.
In any event, should it not have been obvious to us, the viewing audience, that we would definitely have to keep in the WWE, we'd have to keep the black man down and put him as general manager of SmackDown because you know, we need our next Teddy Long to start his reign over SmackDown.
Yeah.
Am I wrong to look at Booker T as the new GM of SmackDown for those very reasons?
No, Kevin, that's affirmative.
Yeah.
You might say. Yikes. Part of me thinks that, is Michael Hayes still writing for SmackDown or is he writing for Raw now?
No, as far as I know, it's SmackDown or nothing.
Okay. Because I was going to say, part of me thinks that somebody above him is just toying with him, especially after the Mark Henry incident.
Right.
And decided, we're going to put black people in places of prominence on your show to teach you a real lesson, Michael.
Yeah, it's like they like him enough not to fire him, but they, you know, they keep him around and mess with him.
Yeah.
All these black people.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, when Booker's done, it's going to be like AW or something.
Oh, God.
No, I know.
You know what's ridiculous? Like I've always said about Booker T, whatever position you put him in, whatever role, whether it's general manager or commentator or wrestler, and if he's a wrestler, whether it's babyface or heel,
mm-hmm.
There's just something about him that the crowd reacts the exact way that they want, that WWE wants them to.
Yeah.
And they don't do it because they feel like they have to. It's like we want to, you know?
Right.
Like when he's a babyface, you just want to cheer Booker T, but when he's a heel, damn it, you just want to boo him.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know, man. There's just something to him, and then he goes and does commentary and gives Dusty fits every day.
Yeah.
What are some lines you're going to miss, Dusty?
What do you mean?
On commentary?
Yeah.
Talking about D. Bryan, my main man, D. Bryan. The man who flies through the air with the greatest of ease. That kind of stuff.
That kind of stuff.
The guy who's at the top of my phase five. So.
What about...
I wouldn't miss the phase five.
So who
the
are the phase five?
That is, yeah, the phase five that is never, ever defined on TV.
Oh, man.
Right, every week there's about 10 guys in the Fave Five. It's a constantly shifting list, you know?
So
you
yes.
Think at some point they'd give him a column on WWE.com that he could talk about his Fave Five, and they could have like a green arrow up or a red arrow down for if there's any movement in the list.
You know, I would wager a guess that they might actually have that, but I have no use for going to the WWE site, so I would not know if that's actually the case.
Fair enough. Like, I would have also vouched for a crawler along the bottom of the screen whenever he mentioned Fave 5.
Right.
That would have been great.
Go to WWE.com now to see his updated top Fave 5.
Yeah. You know something they could actually do that they won't, so I'm just talking out of my ass here and wishful thinking and fantasy booking?
Well, I mean, they could do what you just said easily.
Well, what if now that he's in a position of authority, he actually has like a top five weekly rankings for SmackDown?
Nice.
And those top five rankings determine like who the championship contenders are.
Nice.
I mean, I know that's a ridiculous thought, and you know.
I could dig that, sucker.
Nah. I don't know. So I like the idea. It'll never happen, but.
There's a plot hole.
Yeah, the stupidity of
the loss doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, no, it's too logical for the WWE to do something like that.
I will say this though, Booker T is the greatest commentator turned general manager since Mike Adamley.
Nice.
Well, we can only hope that Booker T shows up drunk to a couple of the shows.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to segue into a let me tell you something, brother, but I think everybody knows that Mike Adamley was recently, he's gone AWOL because he's been drunk everywhere lately.
Wow.
Oh, really?
I guess, yeah. Like, he hadn't been on, he's a sportscaster in Chicago, and he hadn't been on the air for weeks. And people were associating it with whatever alcohol problem he had. He's just totally gone AWOL.
Well, taking a page out of Sid Rosenberg's playbook.
Yeah. Or taking a pull out of Jess Harvey's bottle, I don't know.
Nice.
I don't know. Overall, I'm okay with this move for Booker T. Because it gets him out of an area where he was pretty weak.
Well, I kind of like him no matter what he's doing, so I support it.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting, too. Just the shift already this week was pretty interesting with Cole just being essentially what he should be these days, which is a Keller commentator, and letting Josh Matthews just run the play-by-play.
Amen.
I think that will not be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
One less voice to collude the whole process there.
Yeah, those guys just need more defined roles, and I don't know. It may happen, it may not. I don't know if Cole's got, like, some sort of freedom. Actually, I think I still hear that Vince McMahon yells at him constantly, so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just so distracting, but we've talked about that 10,000 times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, something I don't think we've talked about 10,000 times. Hell, I don't even think we've talked about him one time.
Oh.
If we want to move on from that whole GM thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
I recently remembered to tape ROH this week. I finally got it together to remember to set that puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And I promptly saw Eddie Kingston cutting a promo about how he left his ex-wife to pursue the dream of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Stand-up guy, okay.
And he feels like if he wins the Ring of Honor world title, that he has made it. Now, there are a lot of questions here, as far as I'm concerned.
I want to hear all of them. I want to hear the question. I want to hear the question of why should I give a fuck about some guy in a wife beater on the Boiling Point pay-per-view poster wrestling a fucking guy in a sleeveless shirt.
Thank you.
For a belt that the guy in the sleeveless shirt wears around his neck.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, that is a fine question. I don't know. There is no incentive to want to see this match whatsoever.
But they're at their boiling point, Kevin. They are at their boiling point to where they can't. They're so like clouded and angry, and pissed off and frustrated and ready to fight. They can't even find their wrestling gear. They got to wear T-shirts and white beaters. They're so fucking blind with rage, they can't even, like, feel around the dresser for their tights. They just roll out of bed angry.
It's fighting time.
Yeah, it's fighting time. I am at my boiling point. Fuck! Motherfucker! I'm going to point at the camera with three fingers.
Oh, my God.
I am going to wear this belt around. I can't even feel around the other side of my back to snap this belt. I'm so mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick it up off my coffee table next to the pizza I left out because I forgot and I fell asleep watching an infomercial for Time Life CDs for music from the 50s. And I'm going to hang it around my neck. And I'm gonna get in my fucking Ford Tempo, and I'm gonna drive down to where this photographer is, and I'm gonna get my picture taken for the pay-per-view that reflects the level of anger where I am. I am at my boiling point.
Yes.
Eddie Kingston, you son of a bitch. And then Eddie Kingston says, "My ex-wife, you son of a bitch." Sorry, anyway. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was better than any question that I even had in mind.
What was that, Dusty? ROH has what?
So ROH is better than it's ever been.
Oh, God.
Just that everything is great.
No. Yeah, no, I took a month off, and it's even better than the last time I watched it.
Mm-hmm. That's saying something. That's like saying that yesterday when I punched myself in the dick once was better than a month ago when I punched myself in the dick twice.
Right. Right.
Kyan agrees, yeah. Clearly. Yeah.
DX is the funniest thing since I chopped my dick off with a band.
Yeah! Yes!
That was my favorite line in quite some time on our audios.
So. Jesus. Oh, the old band saw dick and dick. Whatever. The dick saw.
I'm very visual. I can picture you, like, walking up to the band, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like marching to the gallows kind of thing.
Yep. There you go.
No. Anyway.
Fantastic.
And Jim Cornette is totally losing me this year. I don't understand what's happening with him. He used to be a fucking genius.
You know, what's he doing? Like.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. And some of the stuff seems like it's still, you know, we've talked about this so many times that paint-by-numbers booking can work on some levels.
Yeah, sure, of course.
And there are other times where you just need a little bit more, a deeper of a story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't recognize Eddie Kingston walking down a street. If I stepped over three bums in a row, I wouldn't know which one of them was Kenny Kingston. Kenny Kingston. See, I don't even know what his fucking name is. Eddie Kingston. All I know is that he is the grand champion of Chikara.
Right.
Which puts him somewhere around, like, Maven level.
Yeah, right. No, I was talking to Mean Gene, I think it was last night, asked me who I would take from the ROH roster, and I think I came up with four people.
Yeah.
I think there's four. And, their show has more than four people on it. I'll let you fill in the blanks there. It's
nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of sad. Yep.
Yeah. It's very sad. It's what the hell happened?
You know, at one time in my life, one of those people easily would have been Davey Richards until he outed himself as a fucking scumbag.
Right. I wouldn't even consider him at this point. That's low. That's lower than dirt, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I would have considered him before that. I have not been
lower than David Duke becoming president.
David Duke. All right, Roddy Piper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well,
I don't know, Kevin, did I
answer
all your questions?
Speaking of horrendous ROH stories, or ROH decisions, on the scale of Eddie Kingston versus Kevin Steen, headlining your pay-per-view to Mike Bennett taking on Eddie Edwards, where in that scale does having Kenny King on TV rank?
That's kind of that's almost like a which is worse question.
Yeah.
Which is worse, fucking Kenny Kingston challenging for your title or Kenny Kingston still being on TV?
Right.
it would work. Kenny Kingston. They might have one decent wrestler.
How far ahead do they tape their TV? Do they tape like 3 or 4 weeks at a time?
I think it's 3.
Yeah, I think it's 3, and then the pay-per-view is that 4th week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which makes things really weird. When you're watching that show, you need that 4th show to hype the pay-per-view at a minimum. And they don't have that. They just kind of have like a rerun that happens like at the same time as the pay-per-view in most markets.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Like there is
very
that just it's just like, wow, man, it's Fox in the middle of the afternoon. Like, you have a shit time slot at 5 p.m. on a Saturday. Like, you can say, hey, you know what, we need to have this a little bit earlier in the day so that maybe people can get this before, our pay-per-view that night. But, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just an awkward show all the time that they have, because it's a lot of repeats and it's kind of hype, but they also realize that they need to start setting up the feuds for the next pay-per-view. And it just is this weird Frankenstein of a preview / future view show.
Yeah.
No, that sounds very disconcerting and unsettling and just bad business and bad planning, which is sad coming from an executive producer who touted all of the promos he used to do for World Class on a show that ran on a bicycle, and, you know, he'd cut 18 promos in a row for 18 different towns. World Class, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, he can't fucking executive produce his way out of a wet paper bag right now.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened. It's really weird.
Does anybody have any idea whether, I mean, I'm asking you guys, but I'm asking, like, if you know if Meltzer or anybody's ever reported on this, what kind of buy rates ROH pay-per-views get?
I have no idea.
Oh, I have not bothered to check.
I've never seen a number, and it makes me wonder if these are real, like, you know, revenue generators or cash cows for the company. Because they can't be. And what I'm thinking is, if they aren't, maybe you cut down on them. You know, you go the route that all of us nerds on the internet always think that WWE should go.
Yeah.
And trim them down and make the ones that you do very special. And you do what Jim Cornette likes or liked or whatever he does now, I don't know, which is the slow burn kind of old school booking.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get 8 matches that you would legitimately put on a super card and then make people fork over a little bit of money for them.
Right.
But
yeah,
instead, it's just, it's just the same old formula now, though. It's 3 weeks and then a pay-per-view and then 3 weeks and then a pay-per-view. And you get shit like, oh, well, now this fucking bum gets to wrestle for our title against some other bum that we had to throw the belt on because he's about all we got left because we fucking burned through everything so fast.
Right. And guess whose T-shirt is bigger, you know?
I guarantee you by the time we hang up this phone call, Mike Mondo will have won and lost the ROH title.
I hope so. He's one of my four. He's in my top fave four, you know?
He is pretty awesome, though.
I love the guy. I would always have a use for him in a mid-card comedy role. Absolutely.
You might say he's on your short list.
Nice.
Oh, ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah, sorry.
Right up there with Ronnie the Limo Driver. Yeah.
What a great commentator he would be.
He would be, actually.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. So
well,
Kenny Kingston. Yeah, that's kind of sad. Kenny Kingston.
Yeah,
I fucking did it again. Jesus.
God damn it.
Whatever.
He's listening to this audio right now. He's suicidal.
Well, I hope he listened to it a couple weeks ago when we heaped praise on him because he's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Kenny King should not have any problems. Eddie Kingston might be there crying in his locker room, as he should be.
Yeah. That guy looks like an XPW special, so whatever.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it's just that, to me, that, and I guess my main question was just like, wouldn't you just say, man, I really didn't make it? Like, I don't know how he can sit there and think to himself, you know what, if I win this ROH title, I really made it. Like, I know that it meant something at some point, but...
Right.
You've got to be honest with yourself, right? Like, I mean, you've got to know what you're getting into with ROH.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I would say at this point, at this day and age, this point in August 2012, if your goal is to be ROH champion, that's about the same level as, like, aspiring to photobomb someone on peopleofwalmart.com.
Right.
Like, I want to be the awesome one on this website.
You might as well go back to work at your shoot job in Taco Bell.
Hope you enjoy your career at Del Taco. Maybe one of the greatest moments in people getting together to watch wrestling history.
I think so.
Oh man, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Just wishing the guy luck. I don't know.
Yeah.
How is it that bad?
Triple H is racist. Why don't shoot the messenger?
Right.
Oh, that's great.
Oh well. One thing, moving on along, I suppose, here to TNA is the only band of misfits that we had not talked ill of quite yet. There's been an ongoing storyline there in TNA where Claire is asking AJ to fess up about his fatherhood of her baby, her unborn baby. He's been in Australia the last 2 weeks promoting TNA. Is there any reason in this day and age that there shouldn't be some type of response from him on their weekly television show if it was that pressing?
No. Yeah, he's on Twitter. He's no good at it, but he's on Twitter.
Yeah.
He fucking has no concept of grammar or English, but he's on Twitter.
Right.
I mean, just video-wise, is there any... I mean, does it help build the story at all, do you think, still, or the interest around it? Or does the just thinking about the practicality of it make the whole thing stupid?
No. It might be the worst storyline ever.
And that's saying something.
Yeah, that's really covering a lot of ground.
Wrestling has been around in this form for about 100 years.
Yes.
And, Dusty, I think you're right. This is the, and it's so sad, too, because TNA everywhere else is hitting their stride, and they're firing
right
on all cylinders. Of course, they might lose a couple guys here. You know, they might lose Matt Morgan, and the rumors are that the Dudley contracts are coming up. Yeah. But, you know, this is a time, like, this is like 6 or 8 weeks in a row where people are like, I love TNA. I enjoy watching Impact.
Yeah.
This is a great time for the company, except one of their main event angles.
Right, the thing that takes up the most time on their TV shows, you know?
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Like, if you could get a version of the show with that part chopped out, that'd be great. Get, like, the hour-and-a-half version.
Yeah. And to be honest, like, and who is... Okay, so Dixie's involved in this, AJ. Are Kazarian and Daniel still involved in this?
Yep. They were interviewing Claire this past week.
Yep.
In the ring.
The thing is, like, Kazarian, you know, I'm not even going to... Nah, screw it. He's still Kazarian. I couldn't give fucking two scoops about that guy. And Chris Daniels is still for shit. He's still nothing but a fucking diagram of how to do a moonsault. Dusty, you're right. I mean, like, of all the players in this angle, you could seriously cut this entire angle out of an episode of Impact Wrestling,
yeah,
and I wouldn't miss any of them who were involved.
No.
I wouldn't be upset that I didn't see the angle. And the show would be 10 times better. On a scale of 1 to 10,
mm-hmm,
it would seriously bump it back up to, like, 8s and 9s.
Because it really is sparking on a lot of cylinders right now, except for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, we mentioned a couple of the good things last week. I mean, I liked the ongoing kind of battle still this past week with who's behind the whole Aces and Eights thing. I thought they did a good job by keeping them off TV for a week.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't do that sort of thing every single week. You know,
right.
There's a difference between hammering it home and beating people over the head with it. You know, same goes with pretty much everything in wrestling, but, you know, we do get a lot of fucking head pounding. But, and here's actually, as soon as you said Australia, it reminded me.
Yeah.
Isn't it these backward-ass Australians that thought some other angle in TNA was real?
Yes.
What was it, Hogan and Jarrett? That was in Japan. What was it? We're going to have to do some research for Stunt Granny 197.
No, I vividly remember it, though. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, bringing attention to it. They may, all right. Oh, AJ, you're a scumbag. Oh, you fucking crack hole, you know. It's like,
hey, come on.
Yeah.
Let her do crack if she wants to. Come on.
Yeah, as much as cigarettes cost these days, she might as well spend a couple more dollars and smoke crack.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you talked about on Cops, they always show the ugly chick smoking. I mean,
yeah.
You'd think Marlboro would pay to have, like, the hot chick smoking, you know? On TV. Like the hottest chick in the episode needs a cigarette or something, you know?
That'd be great.
It's so cool and relaxing.
Yeah.
And the officer's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Do you want to press charges? No, I'm smoking my Newport.
The menthol goes down smooth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the cop's like, have it your way, baby. God. That's phenomenal. But not in an AJ style sort of way. You know what? At least that guy is a lifer. You know, like what he's doing right now, if there was still like territory shifting and you know, people bouncing from league to league every few years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is sort of like the borderline, like Terry Taylor becomes the Red Rooster sort of deal. Where it's like, you can't wash this stink off yourself.
Right.
But thankfully for AJ, he's got a lifetime career in TNA, and he never has to worry about that stink.
Yeah.
He's basically one.
Plus, he can stand beside Terry Taylor, and he won't really smell himself.
Good point. Yeah, he's just one turd in a whole hog confinement. So yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, bring attention to it or don't bring attention to it. You know, it's Australia, so they really don't count. And we need to go back in the annals and figure out what that angle was, because that shit's hilarious. And at the same time, you know, again, you could watch the entire episode and then just fast forward to that part and you'd be just fine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that would... Here's the thing that would actually make this angle better is if Claire, like, OD'd while she was wearing a cheerleading outfit, and then they wheeled her out in a casket.
Yeah.
A
right.
Little wink and a nod, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. 10-year anniversary. Yeah, I see.
Yeah. See what we're doing? Mm-hmm.
Cross the line.
Oh, my God.
TNA Wrestling, cross the line.
James Earl Jabroni.
That's awesome. James Earl Ebner.
Right.
Sorry. That was uncalled for.
No one wants to be called that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I got nothing else on that angle, but there is one last thing that we wanted to get to, at least. Fun old Mount Rushmore that you came up with there, Mr. Nelson.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
Want to explain why you came up with this Mount Rushmore?
You know, to be honest with you, like, a little piece of news that's kind of made its rounds here that Jeremy posted about today, and, you know, we've talked a little bit about it on the site, is the whole thing with Karma being released by WWE. And all the things that she could have been if it weren't for her miscarriage, and now she's on a quest to lose all this weight to get herself back into fighting shape. And if you haven't read Jeremy's post, go back and read it, because he makes a couple of pretty good, solid, important points about what Karma's trying to do as far as her weight loss goes. And I don't know, and then just an ancillary thing, Rosa, you know, like, here's this chick who she's hot and she wiggles her shit and she kind of gets a little pressed for it, and now she's got this incident, and we're paying more attention to her because of it. And it just kind of got me thinking about women's wrestling in general, and I was thinking, we had to make a Mount Rushmore of female wrestlers, and I don't mean valets and managers, so that probably would disqualify, like, Sunny or something like that, or maybe Sable, you know, I'd still think of her more as a ballet than a wrestler.
Yeah.
But if we were going to make a Mount Rushmore of female wrestlers, who would be on Mount Rushmore? So there you go. That's the reason behind it.
Gotcha.
I threw this out before we went on the air. So, Kevin, I don't know if you've had time to think about it or if you got a few names off the top of your head.
Yeah, no, I wrote a couple. I've been writing them in the email or else I'm just going to forget them now.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if – I know that she wrestled some, but I'm not sure if – and I would think so, that Sensational Sherry would count as a wrestler under your definition there, since she did some heavy work as a manager also.
Right. Yeah, Dusty, what do you think about that? Because I would – I mean, yeah, because she played that dual role. What do you think?
She was the first name that came to mind. She was a really good women's wrestler.
She was
good
actually
at everything. And just out of respect to her, I'd put her on there. Absolutely.
You know, she wrestled, and I know that I've never quite understood the definition of what semi-main event means in pro wrestling, because
nothing.
Normally it's referred to as the match right before the main event.
Yeah.
But when I hear that in my head, if I were to come up with the definition of it, it would be the second most important match on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, go back to WrestleMania 6 and Sensational Sherry wrestled on the second most important match of the card.
Yeah.
And that was a huge card. At the same time, she also managed the second most important match of WrestleMania 7.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I you're right, though. She's a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could see her being on the Mount Rushmore of women wrestlers.
Absolutely.
Kevin, where else you got written down?
Moolah.
Oh, yeah.
The Fabulous Moolah. Now, I will admit to have not, I probably did not see her better days, but, she
no one did.
always comes to mind.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln did.
I love listening to Bobby Heenan and Jim Cornette in those ROH shoot interviews making fun of Moolah, just taking jabs at her. Something about it was someone's night to wash Moolah.
Yeah, people, if you don't own those, go out and get them immediately. They're excellent.
Yeah, find a way, look them up on eBay, get a BitTorrent or something, but get those Jim Cornette, Bobby Heenan shoot interviews.
Right.
You can't help but love the Iron Sheik story about leaving Moolah on the side of the road.
Right.
Yeah. I do my medicine. Greg the Hammer do my medicine. Randy Victor in the back do the medicine. Fabulous Moolah, tell me, Sheik, don't do that in the car. You going to tell the legend, Honored Sheik, Greg the Hammer, Randy Victor, I can't do my medicine in my own car? Fabulous Moolah, whatever the fuck your name is, get the fuck out of the car, you dumb old douchebag.
Nice.
Probably the greatest thing I've ever heard, Iron Sheik calling Fabulous Moolah a dumb old douchebag.
For not doing the medicine.
For not doing the medicine, yep.
That's a great reason to hate somebody.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
Yeah. No, I'd say she's pretty much the George Washington of the Mount Rushmore of women wrestlers.
Absolutely.
Yep. Kevin, you had
because
anybody else written down?
Dated George Washington.
Shit, because they got the same hairdo, too.
Right.
Yeah, this was an easy.
Made out of the wood that he chopped down.
Nice. Yeah, no. To me, there's only really one women's wrestler from the '90s and early 2000s, and that woman to me would be one Trish Stratus.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so
she
far,
really.
So far, Kevin are batting 1,000 here. I agree with them completely.
Yep.
Yeah. because she, she went from being a valet and me thinking she was completely worthless to being a very competent wrestler, and she seemed to be game for anything from being on all fours and barking to, cutting out all this silly horse shit by the end of her, the end of her run.
Yep. Absolutely.
I mean, she kind of played all parts and kind of did everything and ended up as a very good wrestler. So, I mean, that one to me was, she's a bit of a no-brainer, too.
Yep, I'm, Dusty, you said 3 for 3. I'm agreeing with you on that one.
Yep, absolutely.
And, as much as this latest thing has tainted karma for the most part, I've still got to go with her. She's like one of those ones that, I mean, you could maybe pick some other people, but like I'm not going to – she still – they booked her well, and they booked the women's division well when she was in TNA.
Yeah.
Like, their women's division did not blow up. Like, routinely, when she was around and the beautiful people were there, that was the best part of TNA for the better part of, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. No, a year, exactly, right, yeah.
And that's the reason why, and even though she didn't, she had a super, that would have been wrong, an aborted run in the WWE.
Yeah, okay, at least you said something. Kevin, that's a real miscarriage of justice, you using a word like that.
it's going to be hard to forget about her. And, I mean, they're not. No one's going to have that type of size and the agility. It would be hard to replicate with a woman. Like, I mean, even someone like Beth Phoenix looked small next to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that, and even going back to that TNA run, I didn't think her, the wrestling was good. I mean, she did big woman wrestling. And
yep.
Giant woman wrestling. Like, I don't ever remember that out of anyone else. Really. I know that Nicole Bass existed, but, that's... I want to spit on myself just for bringing up that name now.
Don't do it. It's gross.
But, worthless, really, She was. But, there's no one that's like her. So, I mean, that would be my number four there.
There you go. Dusty, what do you think about the number four slot?
Thought about her, but I ultimately went with Chyna.
Okay.
A total train wreck of a life, but at the time she meant a lot. And she was the first woman they put in the Rumble Royal, and they put her in Playboy, which was something else entirely. She was a bit of a thing, at the time. So,
well, she drew money. You could probably trace her back to actual money. Like, she drew money for the company.
Yeah, right.
Which is a very rare thing for a female to do. I'm going to throw out names that probably don't qualify. I'm going to knock a couple easy ones out. Wendy Richter, Rockin' Robin, Judy Martin, Leilani Kai, Jumping Bomb Angels. Probably not the first name the person thinks of when it comes to women wrestling. But then you've got the Medusa Alundra Blaze.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A good argument could be made for her.
Absolutely.
You've got, and then there's the whole Japanese women's wrestling, which certainly, if you're like a Chris Zavisa or that other John Williams asshole.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, it's better left that way. You've got your Aja Kong and your Bull Nakano and your Manami Toyota, who really, like,
right.
I would, Manami Toyota is probably, you probably want to, I'd swap her out for or put her in the fourth slot, honestly, and I'm not really that familiar with her work.
Sure.
But familiar enough to know that she had some fucking dynamite matches for years and years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think we can definitely agree on the three for very valid reasons. And
absolutely.
I think there are valid reasons for everybody else that we mentioned, too.
Sure. Yeah,
so,
totally agree.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe even Velvet McIntyre.
Oh, she's the one who didn't wrestle with no shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she had a foot fetish.
Yeah.
And didn't mind watching her kick out at one at WrestleMania 2 and still get pinned.
Oh, my God, that killed me. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Funny.
Yeah, I no longer exist. I killed myself after that.
I was going to sign off. Oh, my God.
Well, I will start the sign-off process. And instead of grabbing a sippy time beer, I'm going to go grab some homemade root beer from my fine, fine mother. So I am out.
All right. Well, I just arrived at my bass's house. So we're going to have a two-man band practice in preparation for our gig at the Iowa State Fair this Monday, 11:30 a.m. If you're in the area, stop by. And if you're not, go fuck yourselves. Everybody have a good night.
Well, for Kevin DeFranco, for Nighty Time Root Beer, for Eric Nelson, and for all my little rooster boosters out there, this has been another edition of Stunt Granny Audio, and we'll try to do better next time. Yeah.